So we often say that, but that is the truth of it. Very good. Well, we've been talking about the practices of faith, and we've been talking a little bit about those over the last 5 weeks. We've looked at being in the Word. We've talked about sitting in prayer. We've talked about gathering together. We've talked about the practice of worship. And today we're going to talk about the practice of generosity and the practice of giving. And so we're going to work our way through that today. But I want to start today by giving a little bit of an update about where we are with our building project and where we are with that. I know there's been many questions about that, and people think, where are we up to with that? And if you've driven past the building on in Wangarra, you'll notice that there has been a fence up there with not much happening behind that fence for about 3 months now. But if you went past on Friday, you will have noticed that there are a couple of scissor lifts there, and there is a forklift there, and that is because the steel has ready to arrive and to start going up. So the steel will start going up on Monday. When I say the steel going up, you'll know that from past that we are putting a mezzanine through the building, and the steelwork for the second story is all coming in and starting to go up on Monday. So I want to show you a little bit of a graphic up here. So this is what we are looking at, according to the builder, over the last over the next 10 to 11 weeks. So you'll see just towards the end of June, it says steel installed. The ED on the end of that is probably a little wishful. It's installing, if that's not good English, but you know what I'm saying. So the steel gets installed. Then we go to the upper floor install. The upper floor is the concrete that goes in there. It's not a wet concrete finish. It's an aerated concrete that will be Hebel flooring that will go through. Then on top of that, at the end of July, the walls go up. So that's all your steel framings. And then ceiling installed in early August. Then windows, doors, and the lift installed by mid-August. And then in the start of September, you'll see that there's the final clean and handover is the guided timeline for that they're aiming for. So we currently, if we can put the next graphic up, Amy. There you go. We got a green tick in the steel installing. So that's it's exciting. We hope to put more green ticks in that box as we go along. There'll be more photos of that coming along. But it means that we have about 10 more weeks, 10, 11-ish more weeks if the schedule stays here in this building. We will, the time we get back to the out building, it will be a year out of building, which is more time than we expected, and that is probably due to some things that we could have done better in terms of planning, as well as some different things that take holdups with banks and things and councils and things like that. And some of my excitement to tell you that's what's happening, and it doesn't always happen that way. So we apologize, but I want to thank everyone for their patience and for their time of understanding in that. The building as it stands is halfway through the build. So you think, what's been happening? It's halfway through. This next 10 weeks will push us from halfway to finished. We, in terms of the cost of the build, we're about a quarter of the way through it. So 3/4 of the cost of the build is about to happen in the next 10 weeks. And so it's an exciting time. We've got a few things happening as we go towards that period. But again, we will be shifting in somewhere towards the end of September if that goes all to plan. Now, we also know that the building is not the church. The building is just a facility or a tool, as we like to say. It's a tool that we use to meet together, to reach the community with, and to serve what we feel like God has put on our heart, which is to disciple people to become more and more like Jesus, to move towards Jesus. And so we use the facility as part of that to work within our community. So I want to say thank you for the generosity of giving. We made pledges March last year, and they started at May last year, so we're past a year of pledges. Wow, that's the first time that one's happened. But behind me, that was good. Not a problem. So we made pledges at the start of May last year. We started those, and so at the end of April this year, we got through our first year of pledges. And I want to say thank you very much from all of us to all of everyone for giving, for keeping up with your pledges. Our pledges came in pretty close to what we pledged, which means everyone's been able to meet their pledge. So we give praise and we give thanks to God for that, but we've also been diligent in putting that forward. We're now into our second year of pledging, and we invite you to continue to do that. If you haven't been a part of that and you'd like to be a part of that, you can join in with that pledge. It's part of our generosity towards our community and towards our God, and to give thanks and praise to God. So I want to talk today a little bit about giving in general, more so than about the building. But I wanted to start with that, so just to give you an update of where we're at, because I know it's on our mind. Like, is it ever going to happen? And, you know, is those tumbleweeds that are going past the gate, are they going to stop? Things like that. But it's definitely on the go. But if you've got your Bible with you, I'd love you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through to 14. We're going to read some scripture together today. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the need of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience and that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. What's happening here is that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth have made a desire, they have a heart to give, they're known for giving, and they've made a desire to give to an offering that is coming around. And in that space, Paul is now speaking to the church, and he's saying, we know that you have great desire, and we know you have great intent, but now it's time to follow through on the desire and to follow through on the intent. And now the time is to be a part of giving. And we know that this generosity that Paul is talking about, as we've walked through the scriptures and we've lived out the scriptures, this generosity that Paul is talking about is a selfless giving of resource, a selfless giving of time, and a selfless giving of care that's motivated by gratitude to God, but also concern and care for others. We have a gratitude and a thankfulness to God, for He has given us everything, and we have a concern for others that their needs might be met, but also that through that they also might come to know who Jesus is through the teaching of the Word and the discipling of people, that we all might grow into maturity to become more and more like the person of Jesus Christ, that we might come more and more towards Him. And so we have gratitude because God has given us all things. It says in James that He is the giver of all good gifts. Everything that we have has been given to us by God. Sometimes we forget that and we think, well, I work hard for this. I work hard for my funds, and we do work hard for our funds, and we think, well, I've planned and I've studied and I've researched and I put myself in the right position, and so the things that I have are mine. But we forget that actually we are people who are submitted to Christ, and we believe that God has given us all things, because James says that all good gifts are given to us by God. He has given us the ability to study. He has given us the ability to plan. He has given us the grace to be in the position that we are in, and what He has given us is all that is good. And it says that in James. Deuteronomy actually says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, it says that He has given us the ability to work. So He has actually given us the ability to earn anything, to be given anything. He has given us that ability. All that we have, we give to God because He has given us all things. So we are people who are conduits of His goodness. That's good, isn't it? We are not cul-de-sacs of His goodness. Cul-de-sacs don't have an exit. And so we're not just to receive, but we're also to receive and to pass on like a highway. We are a conduit. That's what a conduit is. We're a tube of God's goodness to our community. And we do that through giving and through generosity. By concern for others, it says in Mark, love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And we can't love our neighbor without seeing need and without stepping out to meet their need. I think it says in James, what good is it if your brother or sister is in need and yet you do not nothing? What good is it if you just say, I will pray for you if they need a coat? We've been given that we might be a blessing to others. We are a conduit. So we give out of gratitude, but we also give out of concern and out of need. That concern not only stretches, that need not only stretches from the physical, but it also spreads to the spiritual, that we want people to come to know who Jesus is and to be discipled, which means to be a follower, to be discipled in the things of Him. So we give that people might have the opportunity to be discipled. We usually either go two ways. We think, oh, I want to give because I need people to know Jesus, but we forget about their physical needs. Or we lean in the camp that says, we've just got to feed them, but we forgot to tell them about Jesus as well. It can't, when it comes together, that's where our concern for others and the outpouring of God's love is met through our generosity and through our giving. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, reminding them of their desire to give. He's not actually whacking them over the head saying, hey, guys, if you never heard this, start giving. These are people who've got a desire to give. He's saying, don't forget the desire that you had. Don't forget the intention that he had. Now, we're blessed in this congregation to be a congregation who are very generous with the things that God has given them. So it's not a conversation around like whacking. It's a conversation around keep up the good work. Keep listening to God. Keep remembering what God has told you to give, that you might give as a cheerful giver. We have a good heritage of generosity, and we can take encouragement to continue in that vein. So why are we giving? So we give, when we're giving, we're saying thanks to God for all that He has given us, and that we trust Him to look after the rest. It's pretty tough at the moment in this world. For some people, the interest rates are going up. The cost of all the things at the shop keep going up. Every time we list, we stop, the percentages are all increasing. It's not always easy. So when we give, we're actually saying, God, I'm putting you first. You have given me all good things, and I now am giving to you out of the first fruits, it says in the Old Testament, of the start. And by doing that, I'm actually trusting God that you can meet the rest of my needs. You see me, you understand me, you know what I need, and I trust that you will meet those needs in my giving. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, 9, it says something very interesting about us. It says this, chapter 3, verse 5 to 9, it says, so again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by you believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All of us who have received Jesus and have received eternal life through Christ, we are children of faith. We're no longer children of the law, but now we are children of faith. We are children of Abraham, who is the father of faith. And so we are part of His lineage. We're children of faith. We came to know Jesus through faith. Why is that important? Because we see in Abraham a man who gave to God before the law. Often we think of giving, isn't that giving of tithe and giving it to the Lord? Isn't that a legalistic thing? Isn't that part of giving so that we have relationship with Him? That's what I read as I read the legalities of the law. So as people of faith, is giving still necessary? Is giving still important? Does giving still have any place or any practice in my growth as a Christian? Well, here's the thing. Abraham gave before the law. He was before the law, and yet we see in Genesis, we'll look at in a moment, that he actually gave of what he had. He gave of the first fruits to Abraham, and we are known as children of faith. So it's important to know that you are a child of faith. You're not a child of the law. You're a child of faith. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 14. Verses 17 through to 20. Why are we talking about this like this? Because our giving is a cheerful part of our growth. It's a cheerful part of our life in Christ. In fact, if giving for you is something where you go, oh no, you're talking about giving and I have to give, don't give. If it's going to be a hardship for you and it's going to cause you to be frustrated and angry with God and his body, just don't give. But this is an invitation from God to partner with him in what he is doing in the world and in the community. And so this is what it says in Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 to 20. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveth. That's the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High and blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be Abraham, God Most High, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, he who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Melchizedek is a priest of the God Most High. He is a high priest. He brought bread and wine to Abraham, and the bread and the wine signifies covenantal relationship and spiritual nourishment. So what we have here is Abraham has gone out to battle. He's gone out to war. That's how he got his plunder. And so he gets this plunder, and as he's coming back, Melchizedek meets him and brings out to him bread and wine and says, "Blessed are you, most God." But the bread and the wine represents the covenantal relationship and the spiritual nourishment and an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. So he, as the priest Most High, is meeting with Abraham and offering him relationship and offering him spiritual nourishment, and he's offering him, pointing him to the acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. And what does Abraham do? Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. And so we learn as this, that Abraham gave to God through Melchizedek out of response to God's goodness, God's meeting his needs, God's covenantal relationship, and God's spiritual nourishment. I don't know about you, but I've received spiritual nourishment from God. I've received covenantal relationship from God. I've received everything from God, including all that I have. And so if we flip over the scripture to Hebrews chapter 7, why is that important? About Melchizedek and Abraham. Hebrews chapter 7 says this, verses 4 to 10. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham, this is talking of, gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is from their fellow Israelites. Even they are also are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by people who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abram, because when Melchizedek met Abram, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. Verse 15, 17 goes on to say this. And what we have said is even more clear. If another priest like Melchizedek appears, none who has become a priest, not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life, for it is declared, and it's quoting Psalm 110 about Christ, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." It's explaining that Jesus, Melchizedek is not Christ. God, Jesus, is God. He is above Melchizedek. He's explaining that Abraham gave to God through Melchizedek. And here we have one who is not dead, one who is far alive, and who is in the order, who Melchizedek was a type, a like of. And we're invited now to give to Christ in doing that. And indeed, the greater will bless the lesser. Here's the thing, God is greater than we are. The blessing is always from God to us. Us giving to God is not tipping him so that he does good things. He has already done good things. He has already done everything. And we are the recipients of that. And so we give back to him in gratitude and in thankfulness as people of faith, not as people of the law. We don't do it to gain relationship. I don't give away some of my offering because I hope that God loves me more. He already loves you more than you could ever know. So now I give out of the gratitude and response to him in faith, because I have in faith received the goodness of life eternal through Jesus Christ. And so now I enter into that faith and I give to him out of gratitude and have concern for others. I give back to him a portion of what he has given me. Because why? Because I'm a child of faith. Not because of law, not because of legality, not because I have to, not because someone said if you don't, then Jesus won't love you or Jesus won't save you. No, that's already happened if you've received Jesus. Our opportunity is to give to Christ out of love for him and gratitude for him. Because of Jesus' faith, we are not bound to give by a tithe, but either was Abraham. He wasn't bound to. We're not bound to. He still gave. So we're not bound by tithe. Tithe does not create our relationship, but it's a good guide, a good principle, a good practice of giving to God. Giving to God our best is relevant. Giving to God is relevant today as it was ever. It's never been about relationship with him. It's about giving to him, trusting him with all things and saying, God, you have given me all things. I give back to you out of thankfulness that I might partner with you in what you are doing in this community, what you are doing in this space. I come to give to you. So what does it do? It shows gratitude to God, the giver of all things. It blesses others and empowers the sharing of the gospel. And it says, I trust you to be my provider. That's what giving does. I trust you to be my provider. The actual funds bless others and empower the sharing of the gospel. And it shows gratitude to God, the giver of all things. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6. And let's talk about how we're going to do that and how we're going to continue to do that. This practice grows our trust in him, and it grows our reliance on him, and it grows our thankfulness to him. So verse 6 of chapter 9 says, remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is not about giving to receive. This is not a faith exercise in terms of I give so that I can get over here. I have this dream over here, so I give here so that God would bless here. That's not what it's saying. He is the giver of all things, and what you reap is what you sow. As we partner with him and we give to his kingdom, we actually partner with him in the blessing that is being used to see people come to know him and for needs to be met. That's the blessing. You reap what you sow. You're investing in the kingdom and you are a part of the product of the kingdom. You're a part of the partnership of the kingdom and you're a part of what's happening in the kingdom through your giving and what it brings to us, the blessing it brings to others. It goes on in verse 7 to say this, and possibly my favorite verses on giving. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Pray about what God wants you to give. This is out of relationship with him. This is a spiritual practice, so we might engage Jesus in what he wants us to give. So it's as simple as at the start of a new season of things that have come into your life, start a season of new resources, saying, God, what would you have me in this season with what's happening in my life? What would you ask me to give? Now, for some people, that might be a tithe. A tithe is just a biblical word for tenth. For some people, it will be a tenth. For some people, it might be more than a tenth. For some people, it might be less than a tenth. It's not the number that counts. It's the heart behind it and the fact that you say, God, what would you want me to give? And then listening to God and responding to God out of that. I love the story of the woman. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 to 4, Jesus tells the woman who puts the coins in the offering. And we might look at the coins in the offering and think, oh, it's not much. But Jesus says, I tell you that she is giving more than everybody else because she is giving out of what she has, not out of her leftovers. Lately, we've had some billionaires in our country be very generous with their money. And I listened to an analyst say, as he was dissecting one of those massive gifts where we'll go, wow, I could never give that much. Well, that's probably because most of us won't earn that much that she just gave in a life. But he said, actually, as an analyzation of what she earns to what she gave, there are people who earn not very much that are giving a whole lot more to that cause than she is. It's not the amount you give, it's the response of your heart to give what God has called you to give. To give out of what you have. And so we need to be people who pray, and that we do that because we want to be people who give cheerfully. We give cheerfully because we're being obedient to God. Obedience to God is just submission to God. Whenever we submit to God, it should be cheerful. It might be hard, it might be stretching, it might be in all areas of life, whatever you're submitting to Him. But as we submit to Him and are obedient to Him, we should be receiving and giving that cheerfully. I said before that, you know, if you're giving online or you're giving in the box and you're feeling like, oh God, you ripped me off again. I'd say don't give. Go back and sit with God and say, God, would you help my heart to hear what you're saying that I might give as a cheerful giver? But then if you receive that number and you put it aside each week, each month, whatever you do, and then you give, we give it cheerfully because I'm obediently submitting to God and coming with Him and partnering with Him in giving gratitude to Him and resourcing what needs to be done to share the good news of Jesus. And so I give cheerfully. It's a fun thing. It's a happy thing. But it's also a stretching thing because it's growing my faith in Him and my trust in Him. That's what faith is, trust. I'm growing my trust in Him to be my provider. And so I come and I give cheerfully. It says, none of you should give like your arm is being twisted behind your back. You shouldn't give because someone says some really cool stuff and some funky things. You think, oh, that's a good idea. That's not the way we give. We actually give because we've said, I have a desire to give, God. I have a desire to partner in this. So God, what would you want me to give in this? I now put that aside. I make it a regular commitment. I give it at the front end, not at the back end, because who knows, like me, that if you give it at the back end, it's never there, is it? Money just slips through my fingers. I have great intention. But if I give it at the front, guess what? Not only does it go to where I believe God called me to give it to, but also He makes sure the other portion that He's given me to use, which is also God's money, and the way I use that should actually be submitted to Him as well, just as a sideline. He always makes sure it goes the distance that we have. So we give cheerfully because you're obedient to what He is telling you to do, partnering with Him. In verse 8 and 10, it goes on to say this. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, you have all that you need. You will abound in every good work. As is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Matthew tells us to focus first on the kingdom of God, and all these things, all these concerns, all these worries will be added unto you. It's the same when we, in our giving aspect of our faith and our journey, as we honor God, as we put Him first, as we give out of that space, as we give what He's called us to do, He makes sure that we are able to meet what is required of us to get through this life. It doesn't say that He will be the giver of all things and He'll make sure that your wants are all supplied. Says that He'll make sure all your needs are supplied. That means that I might only be able to have 3 streaming TV things rather than 5. It's not promising to meet all my needs, all my wants, sorry. It's promising to meet all my needs. And I love in verse 12, it goes on to say this, the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for your heart, you, the hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given to you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. God is able to make all that you have need, and he gives and he leads to thank what you give leads to thankfulness to him. It leads in glory to him, and it leads in honor to him. As people receive the gifts that you have placed, and they receive it through discipleship, as they receive it through food packages, as they receive it through benevolent gifts, as they receive it through home groups, as they receive it through hearing the gospel preached in a school, guess what? It brings thanksgiving and honor and glory to him. That's why we give. That's the part of giving that we do. It allows pastoral care to expand, not just through the one person, but to be taught to many people that pastoral care might expand through a whole community. It expands the way that we're able to teach people about the good things of Jesus, not just through one person standing behind a pulpit, but through all of us as we share the good news of Jesus one to another. It allows us to meet the needs of those who don't have a food parcel this week. It allows us to do lots of things as we connect with young people. It allows us to grow the next generation. It allows us to bring leadership into the life of our community. As we give, it brings honor and it brings glory to God. He invites us to partner with him. That's the practice of giving and generosity. And as we do that, as we submit to that, guess what? He expands our lives as well. He increases our trust. So hear me today. It's not about how much did you put in the box. It's about, did I say to God, God, thank you that you gave me everything. What would you like me to give out of a response to that, that your name might be lifted up? And as a byproduct of that, I might be stretched, I might be grown, and my faith and trust in you might be increased because of the sacrifice of giving that I am giving to you. That's the practice of giving. As with all of these practices, guess what they do? They position us to grow in Christ. They position us to have more faith in him, to position us to have more trust in him. Let's go back to some of the other practices. The reason we read the scriptures isn't so that you're impressed that I can memorize half the book of John. I can't, but just in case you thought that was possible. I read the scriptures so that they rest on my heart, so that they're there that the Holy Spirit can bring them out as I'm living through life. I pray not so that you're impressed that I pray every morning and I pray for all of these things. No, I pray because it puts me in conversation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the ruler of my life. It puts me in conversation with him. I gather together as a practice because this faith life cannot be done alone. It can only be done in community. As we sharpen each other, as we rub against each other, as we annoy each other, as we laugh together, we grow in the things of Christ. It's a practice to meet together. That's why it says don't grow weary. And likewise, our giving positions us to have more trust and more faith in the giver of all things, who is Jesus Christ. So today I'd be encouraged to put the practices of Jesus, the practices of God in your life, that you position yourself to grow more and more like him. If it's giving today, I'd encourage you, we're coming into a new financial year. Some of us have different circumstances coming up. Pray, God, what would you have me give in this season? What would you have me give at this time? On a real practicality level, we'll bring out the budget in the next couple of weeks and you can look where that's going. That's the stewardship part of giving. As people give, the church, which is us, has a responsibility to steward it well and not to waste it, because it's not our money, it's the kingdom of God's money, and where it gets Lord's money, and so we have a stewardship responsibility. So that's always open for people to see. If you've never looked at the books of the church, I encourage you to do it, see where it's going. It's a good thing to do. It's called good stewardship, if you like that type of thing. It's open. So I would encourage you to be people who give. Don't just give to this space. Continue to give in your life through other areas. Many of you give to other organizations. Keep doing that. That's a good thing. Keep giving to those in need. Think of your neighbor. Think of those around you.
remember that all that we have been given, time, resource, finances, have been given to us by God, and they've been, we've been invited to give them to Him and to use them for Him in a way of trusting Him and partnering with Him in the things of Jesus. Let me pray for us as we finish up today. Heavenly Father God, I want to thank You that You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, a conversation around giving is not the most riveting thing that we hear. But Father, the things that are so ordinary in our lives mean so much to You. Father, would You help us to be people who submit all that we have, trusting all that You are, to partner with You to see that Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and for our hearts and our spirits to be stretched, our souls to be stretched, to trust You more and more. Father, may I trust You more this year than I have in previous years. May I trust You, Father, to meet the bills that are coming up in my life. May I trust You, Father, to meet the needs in my life. Father, I give You thanks for all the things that You've given me. I thank You for giving me the ability to have things. Lord, help me now to be humble enough to submit all things unto You. Help me to be a good steward, a good manager of Your resource that You have given my life. In Your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pete. Let us stand and we'll just sing our final song of worship.